Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is, a global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, every soul. It's New Year's Eve. A good time to make New Year's resolutions. And tonight I have a guest with a very positive message that I believe will inspire you with a vision for 2012 that we can all look forward to. It's my great pleasure to interview Kristen Ann, who is the author of Exploring Sacred Space, A Vast Quest, What You Need to Know for the Coming Transitional Shift. Let me give a little brief excerpt from Kristen's book before I bring her on. Something unprecedented will be taking place. This will be a transition like no others throughout the vast history of this planet. It will be an interdimensional one. We will transition both through the dimension of time as well as into a more spiritual, etheric level. Our bodies themselves will be less physical. And the most important point is that this time, most of humanity will be making this transition alive. And several levels of beings have been working hard behind the scenes to ensure that the largest number of the human population as possible will be able to make this transition alive. Kristen, thank you for being with us on Cosmic Love.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, I'm really intrigued with your book. I've provided that link on the website so people can go to your book. And we'll be discussing that one chart that you have as you scroll down on your page on your chapter 2. You have an interesting chart that corroborates a lot of what I've been seeing with an understanding with the surge and the source field, the energies of Earth at this time. And we'll be discussing that. But first, you have an interesting story in your book, and could you share a little bit with where you're coming from with that and your experience with Rudolf Steiner and his teachings?
Sure. Back in the early 70s, everything that happened in my life was a series of coincidences, in quotes, or synchronicities. I happened to find out about the Rudolf Steiner college called Emerson College in England. Uh-huh. And I ended up... the whole episode is explained more in detail in my book, but I ended up going to it, finding one that was at that time in Detroit, and my professor was clairvoyant, and it was just amazing, all the things that we learned, because Rudolf Steiner himself was profoundly clairvoyant and came through with discoveries and breakthroughs in nearly every field, medicine, even the arts and dance. So it was very revealing. The things that we studied, we learned from the deepest levels of spirituality.
Oh, well, I followed Steiner off and on over the years, his writings, and I've always been intrigued by this. This was a real, but he's a real, you know, he has a message, and specifically for this time, and that was the quote, the reference. I understand he wasn't real specific as far as when this was happened, but he had this intuitive knowing that this was the portent for the future.
Right. Rudolf Steiner could see into the ancient past as well as the future. So it was very intriguing. Our history course was the ancient history of how souls first came to Earth, and the ancient pre-recorded history of what was here before recorded history.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was.
I knew the guy was really deep, he was like coming from source, so to speak. And of course, we know that, you know, in the continuum, that it is nonlinear. And if you are intuitive or clairvoyant, you can tap into the threads of the timeline, you know, beyond, you know, time as we know it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So your experience there in the school, you had a firsthand experience with not just the teachings of Steiner, but someone that was clairvoyant and gave real depth to his message. Could you share more of about what you learned about Steiner? For example, one of the fields that fascinated me was his biodynamic farming, which was the precursor to what they're calling now the permaculture farming.
Right. A little background on Steiner.
Yeah, and what he was, what in his thing with biodynamic farming, that always fascinated me. I studied that back in the 70s.
Oh, right. Well, I never studied that. There were classmates of mine who went further into that. But the intriguing thing was that Steiner was so profoundly clairvoyant that he could see the beings in nature, you know, as well as the beings in the heavens. And he could see each the elementals in different plants and different stones and rocks and earth and trees. Oh, it was just amazing.
So, so the elementals of fire, water, and earth, the sylphs, gnomes, undines, fiery salamanders, he had second sight and he could see them like a fin horn.
Exactly, exactly.
Oh,
and
wow.
So biodynamic farming, the real core roots of that are taking these deepest levels of farming and the earth and the plants that you work with into consideration and, you know, planting at the best times. Most biodynamic and natural farmers don't go quite this deep, but the deepest anthroposophical farmers, anthroposophy is the science that Steiner created, they will actually plant seeds at specific times of the full moon to go along with the very, very deepest, you know, spirit of all the elementals and everything.
You know, I think that that understanding it's come through, you know, places like Finhorn, where they, you know, tuned into, and other examples of it. I love hearing the story of the pioneers in this field, because really we're talking about, you know, the keys to biodiversity and wholeness and balance in the ecosphere, all those things we hear about now, you know, the pioneers of that, you know, who could actually see the impact of, you know, the elemental kingdom, you know, and see the bridge between the etheric levels and the physical levels. And, of course, that's really what he was talking about, you know, for the future that he saw coming with this this transitional shift in consciousness, which is really the thing that excites me about his message for this time, that he wasn't talking about the physical cataclysm and the earth changes, you know, and the fearsome aspects of it, but more importantly, how at this time he saw that the future of humanity most would be making this transition alive, that there would be a dimensional shift or a consciousness shift, a paradigm shift, you know, the big shift, and mass awakening, and this would be happening from the inside out, and I can understand how so many of the visionaries or seers from the past could not compute what that shift would be, other than just a cataclysm to consciousness as we know it.
right. The whole thing about the transition is so intriguing. You know, you really have to see the diagram in my book, and it is explained so well there that this is a regular occurrence that occurs roughly every 13,000 years. And what's so intriguing now is the scientists, the astronomers, have found that there to be a great cycle that occurs at exactly this time of the Great Wheel, 25,920 years. And at either end of this wheel, roughly 13,000 years apart, there is a major cataclysm. And this, again, is described in my book. If you go to the site, exploringsacredspace.com, you can see a little bit more about this, as well as the the title of each chapter, and you can even click on the chapters to see the illustrations in color. But these cataclysms have happened regularly throughout history for eons. But this one coming up will be different than all others, because it was explained that always in the past, it would be a major cataclysm where most of the Earth's population died, and the few remaining would have to start over from a much more primitive level. And all records of history, all technologies would be lost.
So this is interesting, because you get some clairvoyants or psychics who read the record from the past and bleed that through to the present and the future, as though that same strong record is going to repeat itself. And what Steiner got, as I understand it, and what you're saying is that this time it's uniquely different. It's a energy dimensional shift where the collective consciousness is really going to be, and our bodies are going to be transformed.
Right. See, the remarkable thing about all this knowledge is that it isn't just speculation, which everything else basically has been speculation about the transition, about 2012. And the reason I felt it important to get this book out and to get this information out is because it is based on profound clairvoyance, you know, of knowing what will be, along with a very detailed explanation of why this has been and what has been in the past. But this transition will be unprecedented. The remarkable thing is, well, first of all, we've all chosen to be here now. We've all chosen to be a part of this. And the remarkable thing is, we will all be making this alive. We will be transitioning into a new earth, the new earth spoken of both by Eckhart Tolle and in the Bible. We will cross dimensions into the future of time as we know it, and also into a more spiritual level where our bodies will be less physical. And in order to do this, in order for people to make this transition, energies had to be increased, especially over the last half of the 20th century. And you can see this, how this has happened with all these so-called New Age movements that have happened and that have greatly raised people's energy and awareness. And Werner explains something else very intriguing, that the hierarchy who is working along with other beings on helping this to go smoothly has been streaming energy to Earth, you know, raising the energy that way.
Well, I believe that. I've seen the accelerated rate of change in just the last three decades. It's just been like exponential, and I understand, you know, that what Steiner's saying from his, you know, very credible experience. I mean, his practical things he did, like the biodynamic farming, and and with health and holistic health, and with education. The brilliant things that he did gives credence to this larger picture, this larger understanding of a huge shift in energy, in consciousness, and specifically, I'm looking at what's going on here in 2012 as far as what some people call zero point. It's reached a point where it's going critical mass in the collective consciousness. You know, it's like there's this mass awakening process. And my understanding of what this intelligence, this awakening is really to a presence that has always been, you know, in the field, the Some kind of people call it the unified field or the source field. But there is a field, as Rumi said, and I'll meet you there. It's one of my favorite little ditties from Rumi, the the Iranian poet. But that field, people's DNAs, their DNA is changing. There's an intelligence in light, and this photonic light and I think this is good to orient this understanding of what's going on with the flooding of the Earth with photonic light as related to your graphic on your chapter 2 that people can go to your website and scroll down to chapter 2 and then scroll down on that page and see the chart that you were referring to. And this understanding of what that's talking about, this surge of light and intelligence and this acceleration of transitioning, you might say, of energies and consciousness in our DNA, that it's actually a function of what now science is understanding of our solar system passing up and through the galactic plane, which is sometimes called the photon belt, because the galactic plane is, hundreds of billions of star systems in our galaxy are in a giant circular plane, and it's kind of like a flat plane. And our solar system, in the precession of the equinox, orbits up and across the galactic plane every 26,000 years, 25,920 years, 20,000 years. And what that does is create a surge of energy on Earth, and what did you say, like every approximately 13,000 years, 12,000 years, for about 1,000 years, an extended period of time. But this is what the Mayan calendar is about as far as the end of time as we know it, as we fully enter the photon belt. That we are now in a force field, or sometimes I call it the source field, that is energetically carrying an intelligence, which is really the intelligence of source.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is why it's really important to read this book to get an understanding, because everyone has been alerted and alarmed about this big issue with the Mayan prophecy, and a lot of people have come to feel like, well, maybe it's the end of the world. But I wanted to explain, they never said this. If this has been really greatly misinterpreted, what they said, if you analyze it carefully, that time will not continue in the same way as of this date. So if we analyze this carefully, it means there will be a time shift. It means that it implies a dimensional shift, because time is a dimension.
Our perception of time will change.
Right. The way time is counted, is calculated, and it proceeds after that date will be different than we've ever known it.
Non-linear time rather than linear time. It would be like the fully present now will, as the veil thins, it just kind of makes sense that all knowledge will be accessed, which is like all time will be accessed, rather than just our limited, local sense of, or compartmentalized sense of time in a linear sense.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go non-linear.
Right. Yeah.
Well, this is fascinating to me. It makes sense from a lot of perspectives. I understand that, this photonic light that's surging carries an intelligence, and that intelligence in the quantum field is also nonlinear. It's just like it is all connected on an atomic level, DNA level, which is like a transceiver for these energies, all the way through to a galactic, an intergalactic level, because the great central sun of our galaxy, you know, that all these hundreds of billions of star systems, like, you know, our solar system, orbit around, that it is connected. The physicists are now saying to a black hole, white hole, you might like say like a stargate, to all the galaxies in the universe. So it's all connected. And that sense of being all connected, it's a kind of a quantum leap for consciousness, you know, to comprehend what that will mean. But it's kind of like you know, the computer internet revolution. I mean, who 30 years ago would have thought that you'd be able to go on a computer and access through a search engine pretty much all the knowledge in the world?
Right.
You know? I mean, that's been a quantum leap, you know, and it's just amazing that the knowledge power that we have at our fingertips, that's come to us in 30 years, and as it goes exponential, we're like realizing that there's an intelligence of the universe that is surging, and it's starting to come through and increasingly going critical mass, as I understand it, in 2012, as far as this great, call it the great transition, transitional shift, the big shift, paradigm shift, quantum shift, you know, deep shift.
Right. This is truly the most exciting time on the whole history of the planet to be alive. Really, we are facing, you know, an exciting event.
Well, I sense that this process, as it comes into our awareness, as we, you know, basically put positive energies of expectation and anticipation of what's coming into the field, excuse me, it's like the collective consciousness, it becomes more like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's why I'm really excited about having you on the show and discussing this at this time, kind of the wrap-up of 2011 and a preview of 2012, because it's kind of tuning into, I believe, you know, excuse me, a process of mass awakening that's going, that really is going mainstream.
Right.
And if, I think of it kind of like, you know, this light, this photonic light, this intelligence is really a parallel to technology that we understand with lasers and fiber optics that can carry thousands of telephone messages or videos that are coded on the in the light. And it's the same thing from the great central sun. There's like a coding of intelligence, which is really like a source connection or cosmic consciousness or universal Christ light, or there's different ways of saying the same thing, but this is what's happening.
Right. And the streaming, the elevating of energy is, you know, propagating all that and allowing that, sort of nurturing that whole consciousness to grow and expand and awaken.
So could you share some other highlights from your book that you think kind of key into this process that to you are the most significant?
Right. Well, one of the things, and I explained several of the intriguing classes that we had, they were just amazing. We learned things at such a deep level. One thing that Werner explained that just really stuck out in my mind for all these decades was he explained that there will be other beings involved in this whole thing. I remember one class in particular. He looked at us with his profound, deep, dark eyes and said, Christ will be returning in your lifetime, and his ancient soul name is Maitreya. The name Maitreya has unfortunately been misunderstood by a lot of more fundamentalist types who have equated it with dark energy, but it is absolutely not. It is the same great positive being who overshadowed Buddha. Buddha is called Maitreya Buddha, who overshadowed Christ. And he will be returning in our lifetimes. And what Werner said is that he is actually living among us incognito right now.
You know, I've heard that, and I've heard that, you say, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, he's living among us, then?
Right, and when this decision was made at the hierarchy, that Christ would need to return in a physical body because of this tremendous change coming, 42 other great masters volunteered to come also. And most of them are now living among us, incognito.
Anchoring the light.
Anchoring the light, helping to either inspire or actually maybe start certain movements. Maybe some have written books. We don't know who they are. They have the power, actually, to change their appearance. So even if we've seen them at times, if we feel like we've met someone who... that was an incredible person. You know, seemed other than, you know, a regular human being. They wouldn't even necessarily always appear the same.
I know a person who's told me a story just like this. This bum he picked up hitchhiking. He picked him up, and he was an incarnate master, telling him things. You know, that and just took on that body. You know, just a. I've heard stories that like this, that, you know, in this life, so I know there are incarnate masters
right.
that can take on different forms, and that concept of Maitreya as the cosmic Christ or the universal Christ energy, this is what I understand is the intelligence that is coming through the source field, that more people are waking up to, and that is virtually the second coming of Christ in our collective consciousness. You know, the second coming as, you know, call it, you know, the cosmic Christ or the universal Christ energy, you know, that is really the Maitreya energy that is the sponsoring energy of all Christs, so to speak, the sponsoring energy of one's higher Christ self or real self or higher self. And it's of course, these are all metaphors for understanding something that is rather abstract as far as 3D linear space-time as we've known it. But I think that's what the end of the world as we've known it is all about.
Right. It is not the end of the world. It's nothing
as,
to be
it's as we've known. It's the end of the world as we've known it. Yeah.
Right. In other words, just the beginning of a tremendously uplifted and improved world.
Yeah, and I can see it happening with a lot of YouTube videos that are coming out that are really brilliant. That's probably the cutting edge of what I would consider a consciousness movement, and it's a decentralized movement. It's not any kind of any one movement can claim, you know, this consciousness emerging from, you know, 1,000 points at once all over the, you know, all over. And it's just amazing to me what's coming out, you know, at an accelerated rate of not just YouTube videos that explaining a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, but articles, writings that are just like really intelligent on this subject of a higher intelligence and a consciousness that we all have access to, and that is increasingly connecting the dots, big picture, what's really where things have what trends are going into the future that represent, you know, a revolution in higher consciousness.
Right. Right.
So would you like to share anything else from your book that, or your experience with Steiner and your teacher?
So many, you know, incredible things happened over those 2 years. Werner explained several biographies. He had a hobby of studying biographies because he could see the famous people, because he could see their past as well as probably their future. And so we would trace what events they had done in their past that led to certain events and circumstances in the present. And that whole thing of the continuum of life, you know, and even in the Bible, Jesus said that John the Baptist had been Elijah.
Yeah.
I believe that in the Bible there were many more references to reincarnation and the continuity of souls and learning.
Yeah.
Physical life is a learning ground. That were all taken out in that mass amount that was taken out between age 12 and age 30.
Yeah.
There were a lot of missing years there.
Yeah, his lost years when he, as I understand it, took the caravan and went to the Far East and Tibet, and they have records of him there in Lhasa, you know, ancient scrolls. I've read, you know, the books about the lost years of Jesus, and they considered him Saint Isa, you know, the 18th Buddha?
Right.
18th Buddha. You know, and I think that the priestcraft has removed a lot of stuff about reincarnation and karma and really cosmic universal laws so that people would be codependent on the priestcraft, you know, as the mediator for God.
Exactly. I mean, Werner explained that those books were taken out because people... Constantine felt that if people believed that they were greater than he or greater than the ruler of the time,
mm-hmm.
At one point in time, that would diminish their significance.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's the old concept of top-down hierarchical organizations. If they're truly democratic, if they truly are, you know, if they're truly servant leaders, any servant leader in an organization that's truly serving all the members of that organization will want the best and brightest to rise in that organization as representatives, you know, of what's best for all. But if they're self-serving instead of service to others, if they're not true servant leaders but are just, you know, pretending that they're serving, but, you know, doing the Machiavellian dance with, you know, manipulating the masses, then they really don't want the best and brightest to rise because that might replace them.
Right, right.
So now we see that there's this light that's coming in to the planet, and it's surging, and people are wising up and rising up all over the planet, and you can just see it. With just really brilliant stuff coming out with articles, and it's like the veil is thinning, and people are having a direct relationship with spirit, you know, with conscience, you know, more enlightened conscience, and you're just seeing people popping off all over the world, and movements popping off, you know, freedom movements,
right.
And we saw it this last year, you know, the whole thing from the Tea Party movement morphed into the Arab Spring movement, you know, in the Middle East, and that morphed into the Occupy Wall Street back here in America, and then that went worldwide with the Occupy, all kinds of Occupy movements all over the world. And,
right. And it's been said that Christ, that Maitreya, is watching this, that
uh-huh.
he probably has appeared incognito in the crowds, you know, here and there, that this is all a part of it. People rising up and awakening to their own rights, their own, you know, empowerment is all a part of the raising of this energy and what will be coming. And there will come a time, as Werner explained, when these great beings and Maitreya will announce their presence among us. And
Well,
who knows, it may be coming very soon.
Well, I know there are some people that are saying that they're Maitreya now.
Right.
And whether that's, you know, the real McCoy or whether it's they're overshadowed by Maitreya. My philosophy is always test the spirits and if it and listen to the message of the different messengers, and if the message rings true in one's heart of hearts, then take that as your guide, kind of a thing. And I believe there's a lot of authentic messengers of the great spirit, you might say, of God or Source, and people that are sitting under their own vine and fig tree and pulling down, you know, the fruit of, you know, conscience. And I really can see this, you know, happening increasingly, and I think it really bodes well with, you know, for 2012, that, you know, in spite of all the fear-mongering of the dark side that really does not want people to come up higher in faith under their own, you know, Source connection, you know, and be liberated in a direct relationship with Source or God or, you know, cosmic Christ-like intelligence of Maitreya, being overshadowed by the Masters, you know, whatever. The dark side, you know, is their time is short and their fear is great. And one of the manifestations of fear is fear is just the inversion of subversion of love. And so I see the great, great love coming through, you know, all kinds of sources. Some of the most extraordinary writings and videos this last month that have just blown my mind as far as, you know, my old mind. I'm trying to put off the old mind and put on a new mind.
Right. You know, with the movements in Cairo, I remember several months back, in some of the photos, you could see a figure rising from the fire as if it was in flame, of a horse and a rider.
Really?
Riding, yeah. Amazing.
I really can see how the spirit of cosmic love, which is the way I like to think of it, you know, and the spirit of this energy of freedom in love, and that this freedom movements that you're seeing all over the world is really the spirit of freedom in love, and of course we're seeing this. You know, two steps forward and one step back. You see the movements come, and then you see them being suppressed. But it's really, my understanding is that this is the divine destiny of Earth, and that the fulfillment of cosmic love, you know, universal Christ-like energies in the collective consciousness is manifesting. It's coming. It's
right.
It's like a wave that's surging now from the heart of God, this great central sun, from the heart of creation, and that this is the time ordained. And
I agree.
I'm going to have to do a wrap. I did want to thank you, Kristen, so much for coming on the show and basically giving us a heads up for the year that really is inspiring. It really, I can't think of any subject more inspiring than this understanding that will claim the victory of how good things can be and how we can make it so.
Right. It's been nice talking with you. And if anyone is interested, go to exploringsacredspace.com and you can scroll down and see the chapters.
So I want to thank you, Kristen. I want to thank our listeners for this last show of the year. This is, I guess, a wrap for Cosmic Love today and for the year. So thank you, Kristen, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.